877-477-7717 or 1-800-478-6653.
Good morning. It is 8:18 and you're listening to Raven Radio. Joining me this morning, representing the Sitka Fine Arts Camp, I have Paul Cox and W.T. McCrae. Tell us a little bit about art shares and final performances. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
So, welcome back, W.T.
Thanks.
Yeah. You started here in Sitka as an instructor and have a very fancy title now.
Yes, I'm the director of theater for Sitka Fine Arts Camp, which is a joyous job.
That sounds like it comes with great responsibility.
Oh, I don't know if it's... I wouldn't call myself responsible, just involved.
Thoroughly involved.
Thoroughly involved. Entrenched, perhaps.
Paul, did you give him this title?
No, I didn't, but he deserves it.
Absolutely.
He embodies the title, and we're lucky to have him. Really lucky.
Thank you.
So, in this title, what are you doing? Are you teaching? Are you in charge of the art shares?
Yeah, I mean, I teach four classes at the high school session. I teach two sections of partner acrobatics, a juggling class, and the musical theater class.
That sounds very relaxing.
Yeah, yeah. My day is beautiful. It is filled with young people and art, which is great. And then I coordinate and help curate the art shares with a lot of support from Paul and other people on campus. It's a group effort, but I'm always looking at the schedule on a big picture way. And I help Roger determine the curriculum for the theater department.
And we keep hearing the phrase art share thrown around, and it's on our community calendar. But could you just go into more detail of what exactly that experience is like?
Yeah, so an art share is our hour-long evening program, and it's a chance for our professional arts faculty to share their work directly with the students and the community. We believe that it's important for the students to see modeled behavior in terms of what does it mean to be a professional artist, what does it look like to see a professional artist from elsewhere in the country working. And also, you know, we create work as a faculty that is built of moments of being inspired by one another. And frequently, we're performing after 30 minutes of rehearsal tucked in between our classes. And so in that way, we're taking the same risk we're asking students to take over the course of their two-week journey with us, which is you might not have as much experience or preparation or thought as you'd like, but we'd like you to take the additional step of performing something. So in that way, it levels the playing field and helps them see that even professional artists can work on an edge, take a big risk.
Is this unusual?
Yeah, I think it's unique. I'm not sure a lot of art camps around the country do this. They certainly don't do it at Interlochen and Tanglewood, which are sort of more music-oriented camps. But what it does is it allows, what WT said exactly, allows them to see what we're doing, to live on the edge, to experience and embrace new work, and that drives them toward their own final performances. So it's almost like they're watching us and they're gleaning information on how to be on stage, how to face the audience, how to, you know, light up the audience and engage with their work. And then when they get to their final performance, we see them sort of able to embody the stage and do the work more fully, for sure. So it's an amazing transformation that happens over the 2 weeks. And I think that's really unique to camp, don't you?
I would agree.
Yeah.
Have you had this experience as a child to see professionals perform? I mean, it's one thing to see your instructor perform, but to actually work with someone and like, oh my goodness, you can actually make a living doing this.
Yeah, I mean, I think the transformative moments of my childhood represent watching professional performers. I specifically remember a storyteller in New Mexico who came and performed stories of New Mexico history in our classroom. And I had this moment of that is everything. That's what I want to do. And a lot of my work now is theater for young audiences. I perform in schools a lot, and I do a lot of storytelling rooted work. So it was pivotal.
Did you always have family support to be an artist?
Yes. Yeah, my family supported me to do anything that would make me happy. I was lucky in that way.
I ask that because I think sometimes in a camp setting, you know, it's this sort of little vacuum that, you know, the kids are having this great experience and they want to be artists, and then they leave, and you hope that if they're inspired that they believe that they could do this for a living, or do they go back to school and say, oh, I should be an accountant?
Can I speak to that for a second?
Sure.
Please, Paul.
We're both jumping on that one.
Oh, what's interesting about just an anecdote from the middle school camp was some of the kids came downtown to perform and performed at the Pioneer Home and at the Back Door. And one of a flute choir performed at the back door. And one of the students said, can I do this when I go home? Can I play out at cafes and in senior citizen homes? Can I do that? And the teacher said, yes, you can. And you should. You should perform whenever you can and wherever you can. And that was a revelatory moment where the world became a stage rather than a very specific performing arts center and whatnot.
Well, I think that's one of the things that keeps me coming back to this organization is they have a clear understanding of the idea that not all of these kids might become performing artists or visual artists professionally, but what they gain is a sense of how to express themselves and how to make art a part of their life and how to build community and empathy through those forms of expression. So, you know, while I hope that those that feel driven to make this a career get empowered in that way, I also hope that it drives the others who may become scientists or you know, construction workers, whatever job they choose, that it allows them to enrich their life with the arts. And I think that that's important either way.
So all of this counts to helping you be a fully developed human being.
Yes.
Very well put.
Thank you. So Art Share is very exciting. The community gets to see the instructors. And this is a free event?
Yeah. So we have art shares every night except for Saturday at 7 p.m. And that leads us right into student performance, which is the last three nights, also at 7 p.m.
Can you give us a little preview of what we might see for the student performances?
Yes. Student performances will range from music of all forms, instrumental and vocal music, to dance. We have modern dance and ballet faculty this year, strong complement of physical theater, vaudeville, partner acrobatics, the play, a musical. We cross the disciplines, and we also have an art show on campus on Friday, I believe.
Yep.
It's actually on Saturday.
On Saturday?
Yeah.
I'm still on middle school schedule. And there will also be some readings from the writing students.
I think what we really want to impart is that these are some of the most talented students coming from not only Alaska, but we have students from 26 states. We have students from 5 countries, from China, Poland, Austria, Canada. So that's another exciting thing is a kid from rural Alaska can come to camp and then meet artists who are inspired to do art from all over the world. And so there's a lot of talent concentrating on those final performances. And we'd love for Sitkins to come out, bring their kids, young kids who want to go to camp in the future, come check it out.
Yeah, they should, you know, it's also interesting to see the students work at the end. Every student takes 5 classes, and there's no prerequisite for any class at Sitka Fine Arts Camp. So you may have a student in your class that has committed to your discipline and has worked in that area for many years, or you may have a student that has never set foot in a classroom of that nature that has no idea how to do it, and they're going to be side by side. And on top of that, that's happening for them in 5 different ways throughout the day. So final performances represent this culmination of a bigger experience for each student. We have 240 students at the camp. So it's a vibrant moment. It's an exciting moment. And you get to really, you could just track the journey of one student through those sharings and see how many different things they've explored and grappled with and expressed.
And that's very exciting. And Sitkins, you can see these art shares and final performances. What's the best way to see the schedule, Paul?
You can check it out on the Sitka Fine Arts Camp website. We have things coming up this week. We have a wonderful music art share on Wednesday. And then
Visual arts on Thursday. We have a big band playing retro dance tunes on Friday night. And we'll clear the chairs. It's a dance floor.
Experimental works on Sunday. And then there's theater and dance at the Performing Arts Center next Monday. And that's a fun show as well.
There's a little bit of something for everyone.
Something for everybody.
Well, I'd like to thank my guests, W.T. McRae and Paul Cox, representing the Sitka Fine Arts Camp. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks, Holly.
Thank you.
Support comes from the University of Alaska College Savings Plan, helping to reach educational savings goals. Save in Alaska. Study anywhere. Information at 1-888-4-ALASKA.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Tuesday, the 2nd of July, 2013. It was on this day in 1961 that Ernest Hemingway committed suicide in Ketchum, Idaho. He'd had trouble writing since he'd participated in World War II. He'd been struggling to write a long novel called The Sea Book, but it wasn't coming together, so he was only able to publish a small part of it called The Old Man and the Sea in 1952. But it got great reviews and won the Pulitzer Prize. He was still frustrated that all he'd been able to produce was a small novella. And then in 1953, he decided to go on safari in Africa, and he was badly injured in two separate plane crashes. He never really recovered from his injuries. He began to drink more and more. He wrote many pages about his experiences in Africa, but published none of it. And then in 19...